just kind of ordered this whole thing and put it all together, and it's an exciting time. And so I want to give you some thoughts that the Lord's put on my heart regarding just kind of all of this and what these men have said and testified, and pray to be a blessing and a help to you. And just more than anything, just mind the Lord. Amen. And so Numbers chapter 1, and if you found your place at Numbers chapter 1, if you're physically able to stand, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Numbers chapter 1, and I want you to look with me in verse number 57. Numbers chapter 1 and verse number 57. The Bible says, "But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. For the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, Only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the number of them among the children of Israel. But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp around about the tabernacle." And I want to give you some thoughts out of this passage. This may seem like a little bit of a strange passage with what I'm going to preach, but I think it'll all make sense in just a second. But I want to give you some thoughts on serving assignment, serving in your assignment, and pray God will help us. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning. I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for preserving it for us. And I pray that, Lord, you would help us this morning, Lord, to preach it in a way that would be pleasing unto you. And Lord, it's been good already. I know for myself, God, I thank you for these men, and Lord, for them coming and being willing to do a work for you and to do a good work. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them and bless their families. And Lord, I pray that you would use them in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for that soul that might be in our service this morning, or that one that you're dealing with this morning, Lord, that saved person, Lord, who, Lord, maybe knows that they're saved, but Lord, they're struggling with your will. I prayed you'd make it clear to them. And I pray that, Lord, you would bring them to the place of surrender. Father, they would surrender to do your will. And Lord, I pray for that lost soul that might be among us this morning, Lord, that you would speak to their heart, put them under great conviction, and Lord, they would repent and believe the gospel, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, I just pray that you'd have your perfect will and way in this message. Lord, help me to say what you'd have me to say, nothing more, nothing less, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Serving in your assignment. As we look at this passage here, this is a few verses here, a few words said about one of the tribes of the children of Israel, known as the tribe of Levi. These are the Levites of the tribe of Levi. And what's taken place here in Numbers chapter 1 is that Moses has been ordered by God to number the children of Israel, to put a number, to put a count to all the tribes of Israel, and to figure out how many of them there are, how many there are in each tribe, and all those things. And so Moses is carrying out, the man of God is carrying out the will of God, and doing what God has told him to do. However, in this numbering process, as God's called Moses to do this, go through this whole rigorous ordeal of numbering the people, he's told to not include the Levites. Matter of fact, that's what he said in verse number 47. "But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them." And so Moses is told to count and number the children of Israel, but he's told not to number the Levites. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is that they were assigned a special service regarding the tabernacle. God took that tribe, the tribe of Levi and the Levites, and set them aside for a particular use and for something that He wanted them to do. They were not numbered with the rest of them. And so the assignment that they have, that God gives to them, as we look at that assignment regarding the tabernacle and all that they were supposed to do with the tabernacle, as we kind of look at it and evaluate it, what it can do is give all of us some pretty good instruction for our lives and us serving God, how you and I can serve God. And that's what I want to do this morning, just look for a few minutes at a few of these verses and just pull out a few little things. And it'll not be long this morning. We've heard some testimonies and all that, and lunch is waiting, praise God. And so I understand that I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch, and so I get it, but I want to give you these things. I think they're very, very important, and I believe it'll help somebody this morning. I believe this is God's will about this assignment and how you can apply it to your life, how I can apply it to my life regarding serving the Lord. Because what we have to understand is that, again, the Levites are not the priests. They're not serving in the tabernacle. You know, Moses is the man of God, and you know, he's doing God's will. And these Levites, you know, they're not serving in the tabernacle. They're not the ones doing the sacrifices. They're not doing all those things. They're the ones that have been given charge to oversee the tabernacle. And so they have a specific assignment, something that God has called them to do. And it seems like maybe a task that maybe is not greater and as great as some other tasks, but it's the task that God's called them to do. And by the way, regardless of what level you see yourself on, or what level you see the task or the things that you're doing for God, regardless of the way you see it, as long as you're doing what God wants you to do, it's the greatest thing you could ever do. Amen? And so I want to look at this assignment here. First of all, I want to notice about four things. First of all, notice the calling here. There is a calling in this task. There's a calling in this assignment. In verse number 50, he says, "Thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle." He said, appoint them. Now, their service for God was the result of a selection by God. They didn't just up and choose, this is what I want to do and this is what I'm going to do. No, they were chosen by God for that task. Amen? And do you know, there's always a call for the work of God. There's always a call for the assignment. God assigns His people. Now, I want to say in a general sense, God assigns all of us to get the gospel out. Isn't that right? Listen, there's not a person here this morning that is not a God-called missionary. Amen? You might not be a church planting missionary, and you might not be pastoring a church, and you might not even be a preacher, but you are a God-called missionary. You are the light to this world. Amen? And if this world is not gonna die lost without God, if little boys and little girls all over this world and if the people in this community are going to know God and hear the gospel, it's going to come from you, friend. Amen? We get so worked up over prayer and Bible reading, getting kicked out of the schools, and we get worked up over the government and all these things, and we forget that it's not even their responsibility to get the gospel out anyways. Amen? Listen, I'm not proud of the way our government's doing, the way our schools are doing, but listen, it is not their responsibility to stand for God. It's not their responsibility to promote righteousness. It's not their responsibility to preach the gospel. That is our responsibility. Amen? And if you are saved by the grace of God, it is your responsibility. Amen? You have that assignment. All of us do, praise God. And so that call is on every child of God's life. If you are saved, you are called. Amen. Maybe not to go to Africa. Maybe not to go to some foreign field. Maybe not even some type of what we'd call full-time Christian service, but you are called. Amen. And I appreciate these men and their testimonies, how they've realized that call and how they've positioned themselves and positioned their life so that they can fulfill the call. Not so that they can lay up treasures here on this earth. And praise God, He does bless us and He blesses our businesses and blesses us with things. Thank God for it. There's nothing wrong with it. But listen, it's okay to have those things, but it's not good for the things to have you. Amen? And I thank God for anyone that has got a heart for God, so much so that they will position their life and so that they can serve God and best fulfill the will of God. Amen? Listen, it's a fact. It doesn't matter how great that job is, it's a fact. Some jobs will keep you from doing the will of God. Amen? And Brother Drew testified that he prayed for that job. I think about that, man. You know, it's a blessing to be able to pray for something and get it. Amen? But just because you pray for something and get it doesn't mean that's God's will for you from that point to the rest of your life. Amen? It doesn't mean that God's will never change. It doesn't mean that God might not bring something else into your life. And listen, the greatest things you could ever have in this world will never amount to fulfilling the will of God and getting the gospel out and seeing someone get saved and knowing in your heart that you've done God's will. Amen. We have got the call. See, He chose them to do the service of the tabernacle. They didn't decide themselves. Amen? And you didn't decide yourself to be called of God either. Don't you remember when you were lost and you had no concern over spiritual things at all? Amen? By the way, if you have no concern over spiritual things now, I doubt your salvation. You ain't got to doubt it. I doubt it for you. Amen? People talk about doubting their salvation all the time. I doubt more people's salvation than they doubt their own salvation. Ain't that right? Amen? Because whenever I was lost, I didn't care about spiritual things. I didn't care about people dying and going to hell. I didn't care about missionaries over in a foreign field somewhere struggling to get the gospel out and uprooting their family to take them to some foreign country because God's put a call in their life. And I didn't care about their needs. And I didn't care about the souls they were trying to reach. I didn't care about my community. I didn't care about those things, praise God. But listen, whenever the Holy Spirit comes on the inside, He puts the mind of Christ on the inside of you and causes you to start seeing like God sees and thinking like God thinks and thinking the way Jesus thinks, and He gives you a burden for souls, and He causes you to see that people are going to die lost without God and go to a devil's hell if I don't do something about it. Hallelujah. And so God puts that call on your life. Amen. And you don't decide it for yourself. God does it on the inside of you. Amen. I believe God does that work on the inside of every person that gets saved. Now, we may not be what we ought to be always, but listen, there is a difference when the Holy Ghost of God comes on the inside of us and He will stir you and convict you. And when you're not what you ought to be, God will convict you and do a work in you to cause you to think more like Him. Amen. Amen. And I think it's very possible that somebody here this morning might be struggling with that call. Amen. I mean, you're saved and you know it, but you're struggling with the call. Amen. And God's working on you and you've avoided it and you've gone your own way and you've not let go. Well, I'm here to tell you, I can testify that in however many years I've been saved, 15 years or whatever, I've been saved now. I've never done without and I've never regretted anything I gave up for God, and I've never regretted doing God's will. And listen, I don't have any sad stories to tell. Amen. Serving God's the best life you can live if you'll just fulfill the call. Hallelujah. And you've got the call. Praise God. See, some folks are sitting around waiting for a call. They talk about that. We've turned the call of God into like some weird mystical thing that happens, you know. Listen, I know God has a particular call for all of our lives. I understand it. And He will impress you and He will speak to you directly if you're saved. Amen. Well, listen, there's a lot of things that you ain't got to have an impression for. There's a lot of things you ain't even got to pray over. Amen. You got you a Bible. Hallelujah. And God will tell you what He wants you to do and tell you what He wants you to be if you'll just get in that Bible. Amen. And I tell you, a lot of people are sitting around waiting for a call. They're waiting to be chosen. They're waiting for God to say, I want you. Whenever in 1 Peter, Peter said, ye are a chosen generation. Amen. If you're saved, you're already chosen. Amen. You are a royal priesthood. God's already called you. He's already chosen you. Get in and do the will of God. Hallelujah. Fulfill the call. I think a lot of times in our lives, it's not as much about knowing the call as it is just fulfilling the call. A lot of people are praying over God's will, and deep in their heart, they already know God's will. Brother Drew just testified to that. God was working on me, you know, and He told me I need to quit that job and do what He wanted me to do, but I was praying about it. Hey, man, I'm not picking on you, brother. We've all done it, haven't we? Haven't we all done it? Listen, that's the way it was when I got saved, man. Down in my heart, if I'd just be honest with myself and honest with God, I knew I was lost without God, you know. But you do that mental gymnastics in your head, you know, and you justify yourself and all those things. And listen, things don't change a whole lot after you get saved regarding that, because God will put something in your heart and you know what you need to do. And if you'd be honest with yourself and honest with God, you'd just do what God told you to do. But instead, you want to pray about it. You want to get somebody else to pray about it. And you're waiting for the sign, isn't that right? Hey, listen, I know some people don't like that, but I've prayed for signs. Amen. God, show me. Make it clear to me. I've prayed that. Praise God. But listen, down even in our soul, we know what God wants us to do. And it's not a matter of praying about it and not a matter of finding out. It's a matter of you just letting go and surrendering and repenting of your pride and saying, God, here am I. Send me. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You ain't even got to pray about that. Isn't that right? That sounds like a call to me, don't it, to you? That sounds like a call. Listen, put your body, give me your body, give me everything, present yourself a reasonable sacrifice. Amen? Isaiah 6, I mentioned this verse just a moment ago, when Isaiah had that vision of God in chapter 6, verse 8. God, he saw God in all of His glory. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? He said, then said I, here am I. Send me. Amen. Listen, the greatest ability in the Christian life is availability. Amen. And if you'll just make yourself available and just tell God from your heart, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'll give whatever you want me to give. I'll sacrifice whatever you want me to sacrifice. I'm telling you, God's got a great work for you. And it might be here. It might be there. It might be yonder. But God will set you in the work of God, in His will. And you'll never be more blessed than fulfilling your assignment for God. Amen. See, you can't serve God in the flesh. But if you're saved, there is a call. There's a call. Amen. By the way, that's why no lost people serve God. There's no call. But as soon as you get saved, there's a call. Amen. There is a call. And you may not be called to do what I'm called to do, and you may not be called to do whatever somebody else is called to do, but your call is to get the gospel out and to fulfill the mission work of the gospel. Amen. However that may be. And it may be hauling pews all over Kingdom Come, praise God, or it may be preaching, or it may be planting churches, or it may be sweeping the floor at your local Baptist church. Amen. It might be taking care of the tabernacle, so to speak. Amen. But whatever it is, God has got a call on your life. Amen. And we're all called. Amen. And so there's a calling here. Number two, there is a carrying here. He said, they shall bear the tabernacle. He said, I told Moses, I want you to set aside the Levites. Don't number them. He said, I got a special job for them. I'm putting a special call on their life. And I got a special carrying for their life. Isn't that right? Listen, special assignments always come with special burdens. Whatever it is that God has got you to do, generally speaking, it's what He's burdening you to do. Now, a burden does not always necessitate a call. Just because you're burdened over it doesn't necessarily mean that's what God is calling you to do. But I will say this, if God's called you to do it, He'll certainly give you a burden for it. Amen? Listen, He'll put it in your heart to see them pews get to them missionaries. He'll put it in your heart or to give to that mission worker. He'll put it in your heart to do that particular work. Amen? And that doesn't mean it'll always be easy. And it doesn't even mean it'll always be what you want to do, brother. Amen? He talked about not even wanting to do it. Amen? Listen, I don't get up in the pulpit every Sunday morning and want to preach and want to be in church and want to do these things. But you know why I do it? I do it because there is a call. Amen. And commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. If you just go ahead and do the work when you don't feel like it, God will establish your thoughts. And before you know it, you're glad to be doing what you're doing again. Amen. Because God will give you a special burden for the call. Amen. Now I know the burden comes and the burden goes. But the call will always be there. Amen? But thank God when there is a call, there is a burden. The burden will be there. It won't always be there, but listen, it'll be there. God will impress you, and He called them to carry that tabernacle, to bear the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle had to be carried from place to place as Israel traveled in the wilderness. God would lead them somewhere, and they'd set up camp. And that tabernacle was the center of the camp. That was the focus of their camp. That's the way all of our lives ought to be. Amen? That tabernacle spoke of the work of God and the will of God and the ministry of God. It spoke of the presence of God. If you're not building your life around the tabernacle, you are headed for a fall, friend. Amen. God's desire is that His people build around the tabernacle. Build around His presence. Amen. You build where God is, and that was the focus. But every time God moved them, that tabernacle had to be packed up, all put together the way it's supposed to be, and then physically, by hand, carried to the next location. They were to bear the burden of that ministry. All right? See, carrying the tabernacle was the Levites' task. That's what God called them. Oh, now look, it may not seem as prestigious as the priests is what they were doing. Right? They may have never been seen on the platform. They may have never had the spotlight, but it was what God called them to do. And I believe this, unless you're doing what God calls you to do, whether it's prestigious or not, unless you're doing what God calls you to do, you will never be satisfied. Amen? If you're saved and the Holy Spirit's indwelt you and you've got a heart for God, you'll never be satisfied doing anything except for what God's called you to do. Amen. I've heard older preachers tell younger preachers, you know, when they announce their call and say, God's called me to preach, I've heard them say, you know, more than one time, older preachers tell a young preacher that if you can do anything else, do it. Amen. Amen. If you can do anything else in life, do it. But I believe this, if God's put something in your heart and you want to do God's will and you want to fulfill God's will for your life and your family, you just won't be satisfied doing anything else. Amen. Amen. See, it was their task. Now, I'll say this, it was hard work. It was hard work, had to have been hard work carrying that tabernacle everywhere they went through the wilderness. And I'll just say this, if you're looking for an easy job, don't apply for the service of the Lord. Amen. Don't get into ministry if you're looking for easy. If you're looking for ease and things there, I think a lot of people look at the ministry like it's so easy because, you know, preachers, pastors only work 3 hours a week, you know. Isn't that right? It's so easy, you know. Doing something for God, you're mostly just kind of hanging out or whatever. You're mostly just standing on a street corner passing out John and Romans in Guatemala. I mean, that's all you're doing, you know. You're just passing out John and Romans, you know. It's so easy, you know. Sounds like it's easy, doesn't it? Going across the world to Guatemala and all these things. Listen, you know, and so I'm just simply saying, if you're looking for ease, listen, don't get hooked up in the ministry. Don't get hooked up in trying to get the gospel out. Don't get hooked up in trying to serve God. Don't apply for that job if you want something easy, because it's going to be hard work, just like it was for the Levites. Amen? Y'all still believe that, don't you? Say amen right there. It's hard work. It's not easy serving God. And by the way, don't think for a second that once it starts getting hard, that God's not in it anymore. Amen? Some people think, well, you know, if God was in it, it'd be easy. Listen, nothing is farther from the truth than that statement. There was nothing easy about Jesus going to the cross. He set His place towards Jerusalem like a flint. Amen? But He was in the center of God's will, doing the Father's will, doing exactly what He was called to do and sitting here to do. Amen? But there wasn't nothing easy about it. And listen, there's not going to be anything easy about what you do for God either if you're going to do anything for God. Amen? I tell you, serving God involves a lot of blood and sweat and tears. Hey, listen, it's going to involve some long hours and some sleepless nights, Brother Carl. Amen? Got in about 3 o'clock this morning. Listen, it's going to take a lot out of us, and it's going to take this flesh to the very brink of exhaustion sometimes. It's going to extend this flesh beyond itself even at times. Amen? I tell you, doing the work of God is not easy, but it is worth it. Amen. You know, really, anything worth doing is not easy. Listen, I know we don't compare the ministry to the world, but just listen to me for a second. I mean, what athlete has ever been remembered of doing anything great that just casually played their sport? That just did it casually. You know, what businessman, what mogul out there ever became, you know, one of the memorable business people and one of the richest people in the world and all those things? What one of them ever did anything worth remembering and talking about that just kind of casually did it? None of them. None of them. You know, the Donald Trumps of the world, you know, people think he just fell into all that money. They don't realize that he's, you know, works all night long and all day every day. And that's pretty much every businessman that's ever lived, that's ever been, you know, really done anything the world would consider great. You know, I mean, it's many hours and it's the things you don't see. The things, you know, it's the things that goes on behind closed doors that nobody sees, and the work that goes on that nobody, you know, talks about. I tell you, it's a lot of work. Anything worth doing in life is hard. Not easy. And with all the things we could do in life, serving God is the greatest. And if you're going to really do anything that's worth it, it ain't going to be easy. Serving God's difficult, amen? Anything worth doing is not easy. So there's a carrying here. But then, notice with me in verse number 50, there's not just a carrying, but there is a caring. There's a carrying, but then there's a caring. He said, they shall minister unto it. So the Levites are called to carry and bear the burden of the ministry, but then they're called to minister unto the tabernacle, to serve the tabernacle. In other words, it refers to caring for the tabernacle. The Levites didn't get to wear the priestly robes. They didn't get to serve in the tabernacle. Instead, they had the lowly but very necessary job and duty of caring for it. Not serving in it, but caring for it. And it is what God called them to do. See, they weren't just carrying a building from place to place. They weren't just packing up a tent and carrying it around place to place. No, they were helping to bear the burden of the ministry. Because listen, the priests could not do their job without the Levites. And the Levites would have no job without the priests. And none of them would have been doing anything if God hadn't called them both and been merciful on them both. Amen? Listen, one does one and another does another, but they're both valuable and necessary in the ministry. Amen? See, you may not preach sermons at church. You may not teach a class. May not lead singing. You may not do a lot of things, but you might just care for the building. Amen? Listen, you might just care for the unseen needs. You might just do the things that nobody else talks about or nobody sees. But if it's what God calls you to do, you're laying up for rewards in heaven and you're doing God's will, and God will bless you, and God will bless your family, and God will bless your home. Amen? God will raise up your children to serve God, and God will give you the things that money cannot buy in life. God will do it. Amen? So your work, though lowly, is still very, very important. Amen? Because see, someone has to help bear the burden of ministry. Somebody has to. You know the sad reality of the average church, and I'm talking about even good churches. The sad reality is that the vast majority of the work that goes on within a church and within a ministry, and by the way, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work. If you need something to do, let me know. I'll give you something to do. Somebody texted me yesterday, asked me what the biggest need was around here, and I give them a list of all the things they could do. This is what needs to be done, you know? This is it. I mean, you know, because there's a lot that needs to be done. There's always something that needs to be done. Amen. There's a lot of work that goes on within the ministry, and there's always more to do. But the sad reality of the average church is that all the work tends to fall on just a handful. Almost always. Every ministry, every church I've ever been a part of, some big and some fall, some big and some small. The work always trickles down to just a handful of people. You might have a church of 100 people, and usually out of that 100, about 5 or 10 are going to be doing the majority of the work. Because most everybody else is just there. They're just floating. You know, they're just there to get for me. They're just there, you know. Again, it's that mentality I preached just not long ago. You know, come to church about what I can get. That's the mentality. But Lynn Martin told me one time when I was in Bible college, he said this, and I'll never forget. He said, Brother Jacob, he said, as you go through your life in ministry, you're going to find one thing is going to be true. He said, there are going to be two kinds of people
in church. There are going to be givers and there are going to be takers. And the truth is, the vast majority of people on the average church pew in America is a taker. They carry that philosophy of the world, that take philosophy, all about me. They take it with them right into church. Amen. And church is about me. It's what I can get out of it. It's what the message can do for me. And praise God, God does bless us. I understand that. But listen, serving God is about serving God. It's about doing something for Him. It's about bringing something to Him. Amen. I'm just simply saying, it generally falls down to a small handful of people. And maybe not every church is this way, but most of them that I've seen, is you've got a handful of people that are really sold out for God, and they really care about the ministry. And so they do it all. And everybody else just enjoys the blessings of what the handful does. That's just the way it is. But see, someone's got to help bear the burden of ministry. And if you, nothing else in life is more important than being in the ministry and serving the ministry. Amen. I was thinking about Brother King with all this we got going on. And I'm quitting, I promise. I'm quitting. But I was thinking about Brother King. You know, down in the central Mexico, there was a city with a bunch of lost souls and no gospel witness and no gospel light. People that had never even heard the name of Jesus. I thought about Brother Dustin when he was testifying. Never hearing the name of Jesus till he's 15 years old in North Carolina. See, we think everybody around here's heard. And so, you know, there ain't no use in telling people. Ain't no use in inviting people. Ain't no use in passing out tracts because everybody's already heard, you know. I'll tell you what, there are people in the Bible Belt that's never had a clear presentation of the Bible gospel. Amen? Listen, we were working in here the other day, laying this floor, and we had person after person coming through here, and one guy came in through here, and we got to talking to him, and we got to witnessing to him, preaching the gospel to him, and he had no idea what we were talking about. It was all so new and so fresh. He had never heard these things. Raised up Catholic. Never heard that you didn't have to go through Mary. Never heard that there was one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Never heard those things. Living right here in this town. Amen. Isn't that right? But I was thinking about that little town in central Mexico, and they needed, you know, they needed a preacher. And many, many miles away up in Idaho, there was a man with a family that just got saved who had been raised Catholic and got saved, and God did a work in his heart, and he wanted to do something for God. And he said from his heart, like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." And God said, "Well, I got a place for you." And God called him to missions and called him to preach and sent him out. That man got saved, and a church was begun, a church was planted, and there was a need in that church. That church needed a building, amen. And so that Mexican man that got saved as a result of that missionary going, he said from his heart, "Lord, here am I, send me." And God said, "I've got something for you. Open up your home to the church." And they started having Bible studies and services in his home. And as a result of the missionary going and the man getting saved and opening his home, more people are now getting saved and more people are coming and a church is being planted and people are being baptized and God's doing a work. But now they need a building, and now they've got a building, they need pews. And God did a work here so we could do some remodeling, doing the things that we've done here. Let us give these pews away to whoever could use them. And I was praying. I really was. I was praying. I didn't want to just give them to anybody. Amen. I don't want to give them to some you know, goofball ministry out there. I wanted somebody that could use them. Amen. For the glory of God. Amen. And within minutes after the pews going online, Brother Chris called me. He said, "We could really use those." And oh, ye of little faith. I thought, man, ain't no way we'll ever get them things down there. Running your mind through how we're going to do it. Can we rent a truck? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do other? Start calling around. Talk to Brother Chris Hewitt. Talk to some other missionaries that kind of involved in that sort of thing. The word kind of gets out. Next thing I know, Brother Drew Bowers is calling me. And so now, because a missionary said, "Here am I, send me," went to Mexico, and a man got saved who said, "Here am I, send me," and opened up his home, and people got saved, and the church has been planted, and so all these things have happened. And so now here's a few men, a handful of men who just said, "Here am I, send me." And so here they are, and they're going to take them down there, and people are going to sit on them pews, they're going to hear the gospel, and more people will get saved, all because so many different people from so many different walks of life, and only one of them is a preacher. Amen. Only one of them is a preacher, but they all said, "Here am I, send me." Isn't that right? Is everybody listening? Talking about doing the will of God, amen. Talking about getting the gospel out. Talking about being involved in missions, amen. You talk about all the different walks of life and all the backgrounds. But you know what makes the difference? Jesus makes the difference. And standing up before God from the heart saying, "Here am I, send me." And you have no idea what God will use you to do. I thank God for what Drew said, because I was thinking the same thing. I hope to God one of these days we can go to heaven and folks can come up to us and say, "I got saved sitting on those pews because you sent those pews and God sent a missionary and God sent some men to haul the pews. You did the work and I thank God I'm saved because of what God allowed you to do." Amen. Hallelujah. There's a care for the work. And then last of all, let me give you this very quickly. There's camping involved in this work. Camping? What are you talking about? Who doesn't love camping? Isn't that right? Well, he says in verse 50, "They shall encamp round about the tabernacle." In other words, those that are doing this work are going to be the ones that are closest to His presence. The ones that are doing, they're not doing the prestigious work, so to speak. They're not the preachers. They're not the priests. They're just the average guy. They're just the average Christian. They're just the normal person on the church pew, just working their job and raising their family and trying to do it right, trying to raise their kids for the glory of God, trying to shield them from the world and trying to do it right. They're just the normal guy and the normal lady that just wants to raise her family for the glory of God and is sold out to the will of God, sold out to the work of God, and has positioned their life to serve God with a heart that says, "Here am I, send me." And God's using them and blessing them. It is that crowd that camps out closest to the presence of God. You want to know how to live your life on the fringe of God's presence? Just do what you want to do. If you want to live your life on the outskirts of the presence of God, then just do what you want to do. Just fight the will of God, you know, and just never surrender, and just keep on. And I tell you, a lot of times you'll wind up with all the things you want, but you'll lose the things you had. You can live your whole life, your whole Christian life on the outskirts spiritually if you want to. But if you'll fulfill your assignment, no matter how big or how small it is, God will have you camping the closest to His presence. See, the tabernacle is a type of Christ. It's a picture of Christ. Those who serve need to stay close to the Lord. And those who serve are going to have to stay close to the Lord. But you know, on the flip side of that, those who serve are close to the Lord. That's the blessing of it all. It's the requirement, but it's also the blessing. Our devotion to Him is vital to serving Him well. No matter what our duty is. You know, at the end of the day, being close to Him is going to have to be the driving force of anything you do. If you're doing what you're doing to please somebody else, to impress somebody else, or to climb the ladder of ministry, I'm telling you, you'll never make it. Because can I just tell you the reality? The reality is, you can work your fingers to the bone, and the majority of people in ministry won't even notice. They won't notice at the least. That's best case scenario. Let me just tell you. Best case scenario, no one even notices. Because what happens a lot of times is, it's not that they don't notice. Instead, they're just critical of it. I wouldn't have done it that way. I wouldn't have done it this way. You know, some people are so okay. They're so okay. They're okay with a ministry drying up and dying just as long as nothing changes. Just as long as it's the way it's always been. As long as nothing changes, nothing puts me out of my comfort zone, you know. I mean, just as long as it don't change, as long as it's the way I want it to be, you know, it can drop and die for all I care. And if somebody does something, you know, they're going to critique it, you know. I wouldn't have done it that way. And I'm just telling you, that is the way it is in ministry. But at the least, no one will notice. No one will pat you on the back. No one's going to tell you what a great job you're doing. No one's going to give you word. By the way, if you was to get all that, you lose your reward in heaven. See, we ought to serve with a mentality that I don't want any recognition. We ought to serve with a mentality that I want this to cost me something. Isn't that the way David served? Whenever he came down to that threshing floor, and I can't remember whose threshing floor it was now, I can't remember the guy's name, but he came down to that threshing floor and he was going to offer God a sacrifice. And that fellow was going to give him everything. He's going to give him the tools. He's going to give him the animals. He's going to give him the threshing floor. He's going to give him the land. He's going to give it all to him. I'll give it to you. And David said, I will not give God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. I ain't going to do it. Jesus said of those Pharisees, you know, they made them big, long-winded prayers before everybody, real eloquent. And everybody was so impressed with their praying ability. You know what Jesus said? They have their reward. It wasn't that they weren't getting a reward. It's just that they got it here. They wanted everybody to be impressed with what they were doing, so everybody was impressed with what they were doing, so that's all they get. That's all they get. Just simply telling you, if you do God's will, you're going to have to do it from a heart for God. That, Lord, I want to do this for you. This is about your glory. This is about your honor. Because then, as long as you've done God's will, it doesn't even matter what anybody thinks. I wonder this morning, are you fulfilling your assignment? God has got a call. And you know what it is. If you're saved, you know what it is. Deep in your heart, I believe you know. The question is, are you doing what He's called you to do? Let's pray. Father, come before your throne of grace this morning. Thank you for helping us with your word, and I pray that you will take it and use it. I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to be surrendered to your will and to your call for our life. Help us, God, to be what you want us to be. Lord, I pray for that one here this morning that is battling, Lord, with your call and battling with your will. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to sell out and surrender. I pray that, God, you would do a work in their heart and their life. Lord, I don't want to see anybody here in our church would wind up under the judgment of God because they would not do your will. Well, I don't want to see them cursed because they wouldn't do your will. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit, Lord, would guide us into all truth and help us all, Lord, to be what you want us to be. I pray for that lost soul that's nearest hell this morning that you would draw them to the foot of the cross that they'd be saved before it's too late. Bless now on the altar call. Have your perfect will and way, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all